There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, the phone number, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write in through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can also email me your audio file. If you have a ghost story you want to share, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online. So several ways to get your ghost stories to us. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well with calls and all sorts of fun stuff.
Good.
I can go through. I'm excited to get the hazmat suit after we're done with the program today.
Yeah.
We're working on a deck extension project, and there's some stuff that we have to pull out. There's like a screen underneath the deck.
Right.
That is like jammed in between the boards. And I think it was to originally prevent like wasps and stuff, I'm guessing, from like going up between the boards.
Right.
But it's only on one part of the deck, and it really just ended up, I think, becoming more so a catch-all for like bat poop and leaves and whatever else random thing. And we're trying to get that pulled down. And it's like, well, how do we do this without getting a shower of bat poop and leaves?
Yeah, it's
so
gross.
I'm gonna go find like a painter's like suit or something, or I hope that would work.
Get a respirator mask too.
A respirator mask too?
Well, you know, the ones that you wear when you're doing dust and stuff.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
So I don't inhale any of the bat poop.
And we've got goggles.
That's true.
And then you just need to shower immediately afterwards.
That'd be fun. I'll look like pretty creepy out there.
Yeah.
That'd be
It'd
fun.
Be gross.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what is on my agenda after we get done with the show today. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go on in here to our first story of the day. Hi, you are on the show.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Jazz from Arizona, and I'm calling because I wanted to tell you something about Tombstone. So I know you had a caller recently in a podcast say that she had gone to Tombstone, and she had been in the Birdcage Theater and was down where the prostitutes had their rooms. Well, I actually had an experience there, too. So, and I knew exactly what she was talking about, because I'm like, yes, that's exactly where I saw my thing. So we had just moved to Arizona from Chicago, and my mom was like, hey, let's, you know, we're only 3 hours away from Tombstone, let's take a drive. So we drove down there, and it was me, my mom, and my sister, and I decided to go into the Birdcage Theater. And so as we had gone there, I had a watch, and I never had any problems with this watch, but there's a, when you enter the Birdcage, there's kind of like, this display case that has all the things that they had found in Tombstone or like in the Birdcage specifically. And there's a real human skull in the display case. And so when I went up to it, my watch started malfunctioning, and it was doing a lot of weird things, and the alarm went off for some reason, and like, never had any problems with this watch. The moment I walked away from that skull, my watch just like turned off. It stopped working. So finally, actually, when we left Tombstone, it turned back on again, and it was working fine. So that was a little freaky, but we had gone down into the birdcage, and I had gone down the steps. My sister had still been upstairs, and I had gone down the steps to look at the prostitution of rooms that they had down there. You know, you can look inside the bars and see kind of how they were stylized during the day and everything. Well, I was looking into the room that was closest to the shop, which is exactly the same area where that one woman had felt that cool breeze, the one who called. And as I was looking in the room, I saw a man on the corner, and he had like an old style, you know, 1800 suit. He had the collar on with kind of like the tassels that go down, and he had like kind of like an old 1800 style mustache, and his hair was combed back. And you know, I'm looking around the room, and I could see him in my peripheral, and I'm thinking, and you know, the thing I'm thinking is, it's a mannequin. You know, you're looking at a display of what it looked like. Maybe they put a mannequin of a man in there kind of to signify, like, what the room was used for. Well, when I went to turn to look in that direction and take a picture, there wasn't a man there, but it was only, it was a coat rack that was in that corner, in the area where I had seen him. And I kind of stopped for a second, and I was looking around, and I'm thinking, no, that can't be right. I'm positive that I saw a man, and or at least a mannequin. Like, it had to be a mannequin. And so I was looking around in the room, and there's no mannequin in that room whatsoever. So I backed up, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna walk away, and I'm gonna look into the other rooms, and then I'll come back, and you know, like, maybe I'm suffering from heat exhaustion. It's very hot. So I was looking into the other rooms. Nothing happened. I'm just looking around. More people are coming down. And I go back to that room one last time, and there is no mannequin. There is no man. And the only thing in that area is a chair and a coat rack. So that was my experience. Well, a year later, we went back with my dad. And it was my mom, my dad, and me. And so I thought it would be cool if we did the app, the ghost app that kind of like says out, you know, shouts out words and everything like that when a ghost is talking. And you know, those things aren't really working, but yeah, I thought it'd be fun. So we went inside, and my dad's recording, and I'm kind of talking and everything, and I have this ghost app on, and I'm talking to my dad. And then I asked, I don't remember what I asked specifically, but I asked something out loud, and it came back with the word bend. And I go, bend? And we're in the area where the theater is. And so I look at my dad, and I go, bend? And then it hits me like, bend over? And my dad looks me straight in the eye, and he goes, no way in hell. I wasn't initiating anything. Like, it just said bend. And my dad walks away, and he's muttering, those bastards. Like, even in death. So I walked away from the area, and I walked up through the stairs behind the theater. And they have an old hearse. It was the original hearse from the 1800s that they had used to, you know, carry the dead. So they have it in the back, and it's this gigantic black hearse. It is the creepiest thing. They have fake coffins in there and everything. And so as I was walking towards the hearse, I wasn't even saying anything. I was just kind of looking at it, reading some of the signs. And as I was looking at it, the ghost app had said, sleep. And I go, sleep? And I had asked the question, like, did it feel like falling asleep? Did dying feel like falling asleep? And I never got an answer after that. But it was weird how I got bend, and then I got sleep. And I mean, I don't really trust these apps. honestly, it could have just been a fluke, but it was just weird how it happened. You know, I'm asking questions, and it tells me to bend in a prostitution house, and then going to a hearse, and it said sleep. So those were just some weird experiences that we had. We did go around asking questions and everything. Nothing ever happened. Although, when I walked out of the birdcage with my dad, my sunglasses snapped in half. And that, I mean, it probably has happened to other people before in normal situations, but I've never in my life had sunglasses snap in half while still on my face. They were sitting on my face, and I'm talking to my dad, and we're walking out, and my sunglasses snap in half. And and it startled me because I heard the crack, and then the lens, one of the lens from the right side fell to the floor. And I just looked at it, and I go, oh, my God, my sunglasses snapped. And I took them off, and they were completely in half. And I looked at my mom, and I'm like, this has never happened to me before. What is this? So I just think it's strange that some of these things happen, you know. And it could have been somebody following me. I never had any trouble after that. But just some weird experiences that happened in Tombstone. I do have some Gettysburg stories to tell you too. So I would like to call back and let you know, and a Halloween story. But just thank you so much for a wonderful show and a wonderful podcast. And I hope to hear this air. And I hope you guys have a great day. And to all the people who enjoy ghost stories, just be safe out there and don't play with the Ouija board, please. all right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think that anything that is creepy that happens in the Birdcage Theater is not just, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, I think
it's guaranteed to be paranormal.
I think so in my book, just because there's so much that happens there.
Sure. It's funny with the glasses. We had something where Livy's glasses got
knocked off.
Knocked off. They didn't get broken, but they got knocked off.
They
by
slid
something
across the pavement
in Colorado. I wonder if that's like a thing. If that's like ghosts kind of see that as like a target where it's like, hey, that's an easy target, essentially, as far as manipulating something. You know what I mean?
Right.
The thing is, if that's how they view it, though, it's also something that can be easily written off as well as, oh, it just fell, or, you know, where humans can rationalize it more than other things.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is an easy thing for them to do. I don't know.
I don't know. Is it symbolic of trying to make you weaker, too?
Could be. I think it probably depends on what it is and what its intent is. Mm-hmm. Creepy story, nonetheless. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hello, Tom. Hello, guys. I'm a fellow YouTuber, but I have a weird ghost story. I was growing up in my father's old house. He just since then moved. And the house now belongs to this nice couple, apparently. But while I was growing up, there was this cat. Now, my family had several cats, three cats for the most part. One belonged to my mother specifically, another one belonged to my sister, and then there was one that ended up belonging to my younger brother. This cat that belonged to my younger brother is going to be important as it's close to the similarity in appearance to this ghost cat. Now, every so often during the night, I would see this cat appear. It would be all black, and every so often when I saw it, it would just disappear into the night, in a sense of speaking. Like, it would just run off and disappear into the darkness. Most of the rooms it appeared in were black, but I know I could make out a black cat. So I would keep waking up, and this one time my cousin was sleeping over. He slept in my younger brother's room one night, and hours before he, you know, everyone went to bed, I was talking to him separately. I was like, oh, by the way, I keep seeing this ghost cat wandering around. I'm not sure if it'll appear tonight, because it didn't always appear every night on the spot or anything. There was no way to keep a schedule with it, I'm guessing, since, you know, more human ghosts might be able to track date and time or whatever and appear more often at that time. So, like, you might hear more stuff like, oh, this ghost of this dude appears at this time. Whereas I am guessing animal ghosts, being as their sense of time is more skewed than humans, might be harder for them to keep track. But so I kept seeing it. And one night after I told my cousin about it, he went to bed in my younger brother's room, slept with my younger brother and whatnot, and I was trying to sleep. He came into my room, and I was like, and he was like, dude, I know I said I didn't believe in that ghost cat, but now I do. I saw it. It leapt up and tried to attack me, as it tried to do me several times, but it never really tried to attack. It just did that whole leaping thing where you would imagine a cat with its claws spread out and trying to leap at you and to scratch you or whatever and bite you, but it would always vanish right before reaching you, so you get a good view of its, in a way, face, but you didn't see anything like eyes or anything. It was just a black, shadowy figure of a cat, so it would be completely black as like the darkness of night, as black as the night sky without the stars, in a sense. So then years later, when I asked, my father was selling the house and whatnot, and he was in the process, I was in the car with him alone, and I asked him, so I asked my father, were there any cats that lived in the house, or at least visited the house or whatnot, belonged to a neighbor, belonged to you or whatever, you know, that were black? And he was like, yeah, one, it belonged to the neighbors across the street, apparently. And he was like, you know, the cat liked to visit him, or at least his house, quite a bit, and the cat's name, I believe, was Dickie. I might be misremembering that, but even so, let's just use the name Dickie. And he was like, the cat died, and no one knows what happened to it. It's just one day the cat vanished, and, well, you know, so everyone just assumed the cat died. The person who owned the cat went looking for a while, but at some point, of course, as humans do, gave up. So it's just a weird incident, because my father, as after that cat vanished, he apparently never saw the ghost cat, but I kept seeing it as I was growing up. And so, again, being surrounded by cats, having one cat that's black and somewhat with white spots here and there on its body, I kept playing it off as just that cat that ended up belonging to my younger brother. But as it kept vanishing, I kept deciding, well, okay, it's probably just an apparition, a ghost apparition. So, you know, and that was like my only ghost experience, really. But if anything else happens in any time in the future in my life, I'll keep you guys updated. Thanks for hosting the show. I've been watching it for a couple of days now, and I hope to, once I get a job and I begin making money, either that or my YouTube channel blows up in popularity, I hope to become an EPP. So, again, thank you, and I wish you guys luck with your channel, doing YouTube stuff and other things ain't easy. So again, I'll see you guys then. Bye, guys.
Could it be a ghost cat? Sure. Have you seen, though, those pictures people put up? And it's just this cute little cat just sitting on the couch or something. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a cat. You know, cats randomly getting into houses.
Sure.
It happens quite a bit. But this cat seems to be like clockwork.
It does. It's like it's on a... It's like on a mission to deliver a message or something.
Yeah.
It's odd the way that it's showing up and how it's showing up. It's very, there's something unique going on there with that.
And I don't think it's residual because it seems to interact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a ghost cat.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Marie from New Mexico, now Marie from Washington State, because I transferred universities to be closer to home. I called previously about an encounter that I had with my friend Rachel in her dorm room, and there was some confusion, I don't know. So the door that we couldn't get into was to my dorm room, which was in a completely separate building, because there was three dormitory buildings. But anyway, today I called to tell you guys about what was happening in my dorm room. So the way my dorm room is set up, you enter and it's a room, obviously, and there's two beds. There's one on the left and there's one on the right. And mine just so happened to be the one on the right. And if you keep going a little bit further, there's a closet on the left, and then a sink in the middle, and then a joint bathroom on the right. And the closet is where most of this happens. It didn't have a door, so if I laid down on my bed, I could see directly into the closet. So when I first started college, nothing bad was happening. I didn't get any weird feelings or anything like that. But maybe 2 weeks in, I started getting this, it was this feeling, it was really subtle. So it was kind of hard to pinpoint that it was actually happening when it was happening. But as the weeks went on and about a month and a half into starting university, there was just this super intense feeling whenever I'd walk into my dorm room, and it was anxiety, it was depression, it was panic, it was fear. It would just sit on my chest. It would be so heavy, and I tried to spend as much time as I could out of the dorm room, but obviously at night I had to go and, you know, sleep. So that's when all of this stuff happens. So the first night that I ever saw this entity, I was laying down in my bed, and I like to face the entire room so I know what's happening, and if there's an intruder or something, then I know it's there. So I'm facing out, and I can see the closet, and I could see my roommate. She's asleep, and I could see the door and the windows and everything. And I look over at the closet, and all I see is a figure, super tall, maybe like 7 feet, and it was just standing there. And I couldn't see any facial features or anything, but I could tell it was looking right at me, like right into my soul. And I was terrified. I just closed my eyes, and I tried to think of happy thoughts, you know, like fields of flowers and sun shining and all that jazz. So as the weeks kept going on, I kept seeing this figure. And the feeling, that pressure that I talked about, just kept getting more and more and more intense as the weeks went on. So every single night, I'd go to sleep, or I'd get ready to go to sleep, I'd look at the closet, and there would just be that figure. And sometimes it was tall, sometimes it was short, and I found that kind of weird because I thought they were supposed to be kind of consistent. But for the most part, it was like 7 feet tall every single time. And the color to it, it wasn't completely black, like a shadow figure. It sometimes had mixtures of brown and orange and black all mixed up together. But needless to say, I was still kind of terrified. And it got to a point where I couldn't hold it in any longer, just keeping this bottled up to myself. So I told my roommate, because obviously she has the right to know. And I was scared to sleep on my side of the bed, or my side of the room. So we slept in her bed one night, and I looked over. So I can't see the closet at this point, but I looked over in that general direction, and I saw its head peeking around the corner, just looking at me. And I stared it down for like a solid 2 minutes. Well, obviously exaggerated, but felt like 2 minutes or longer even, and I just stared at it. And it got to the point where I was sleeping over at Rachel's room every single night. I would only go into my room during the daytime. So our friend Lauren went, and she gave me some sage, and she gave me some amethyst beads for protection. And we saged the room, and I said the Lord's Prayer, and I said, I only want good energy here. Please leave if you have any negative intentions towards me or my roommate. We only want good presence here. And it left. It was gone for maybe a week. And then I looked. I tried to go back to sleep one night, and I looked over at my roommate under her bed, and I saw it there beside her, behind her dresser, just staring at me. And I was so freaked out, I like jumped out of the bed, and I went outside, and my roommate came outside after me. She was like, what's going on? I was like, it's back. I can't stay here. I'm going over to Rachel's room. And she came over with us, obviously, because she didn't want to be by herself. And it just got kind of more aggressive, like lights would start flickering, and I was like, oh my gosh, six Stranger Things reference. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's the entity or whatever. and got really nervous, wouldn't go into my room at all. And then we staged again, and we burnt incense maybe once a day, and we prayed every single day. And usually I'm not the religious type, but at this point, I was. And it went away, thankfully, but there was still that feeling, so I knew it wasn't far away and that it was always there. And it kind of just sits in the back of my mind now, especially because I'm not there anymore, and it's my previous roommate. She's there now, and it's kind of nerve-wracking because she's by herself, and she got really terrified of the whole entire situation. So, yeah, that's my story about the entity that was in my dorm room. Sorry about my words getting all jumbled up. I'm kind of nervous to call in. I don't know. But, yes, I have more stuff about after, once I transferred back to Washington, and stuff from my childhood. This has been happening my whole entire life. So I have a multitude of stories. I don't think any are as scary as the wolf man figure thing that I saw in Rachel's room, but who knows, maybe there is one. I will definitely call in again to tell you guys about my experiences that I have had and any more that come up in the future. Thank you for listening to my story, and I hope to hear it soon. I'm a super proud EPP member, and yes. Okay, thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
There's enough crap that goes on during the day when you're in college to not have a place where you can go and relax and study and just be calm. I feel so bad for college students that have to deal with haunted dorm rooms because it's just terrible.
There's no way of escaping that then.
No, there's not.
It's not like, oh, I'll just go over here and stay at a friend's house or something, especially if you don't have any friends' houses. Mm-hmm. There's other dorm rooms, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
And they're so tiny to begin with that, and it's not like it's a place where, like, oh, I'm going to go to the other room, you know, and get away if it's like affecting just one area.
Right.
You're just kind of stuck there. I wonder how that works with, you know, complaining about it. Like, hey, I think my room's haunted. Can I get a different room? Is that like an honorable request?
I doubt it, just because dorms are full. I mean, you can't just like shuffle.
Yeah, it's like, well, we'll put somebody else there to deal with the ghost. And I wonder how often they have things like that where they just, you know, the administrators know that there's something with one room because every year they get a complaint about it, you know, and it's like, well, can't really do anything about it other than say no one's going in this room.
It probably happens, but I don't think they can do much about it.
Yeah, other than like how some hotels go and say, okay, we're just not renting out this room anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they would do that because, you know, you get a lot more for a dorm room.
Yeah. And it's real estate, and you know, there's people involved and money involved, mm-hmm. and they're going, so we're not using this room. Why? Because some kids thought they saw a ghost there? No, put kids back in there. I don't think it would be as request that would be honored, even with the people with the best of intent, mm-hmm. To do so. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey, this is Jason from Alabama. I was calling to tell you an experience I had a long time ago, and I had started off on your website, and for some reason the website stopped because I was afraid I would forget some details of the story if I was just to talk online. But I don't know. I've been listening for you guys for like a few weeks now. I'm kind of kind of a new listener, I don't know, I just felt this, no one has ever believed this story or this experience until I don't know, except for the people who have gone through it. So let me just get started with it. I'm 35 years old now. This story happened when I was probably about 19 and 20. And I remember that through the friends I had that were there with me and the time period that was there. We used to be, like through high school, we were always interested. I came from a small town, and we were always interested in something that was not there, you know. We would get run off through the police or whatever, and have to find something else to do. So we would always try to find something else to do, and we wound up getting very interested into the paranormal activity in our area. So we became, I wouldn't call it ghost hunters so much, you know, as a, you know, nothing more than any typical teenager would call themselves. You know, we would go check out graveyards and, you know, typical places. And but we would always try to have that kind of, I don't know how to say it, you know, skeptic. You know, look at it from a skeptic's point of view. So we actually debunked a lot of stuff, and we pretty much debunked everything that we ever saw that could have been some kind of paranormal activity. Well, one day one of our friends came to us, and he was like, okay, so I just got this story from as a family member, and I can't remember the family member, like if it was a, like uncle or whatever, but I think I want to say it was his uncle. I told him about a an issue that was kind of close to their house. It wasn't really the house itself or anywhere near it. It was kind of like a nearby neighborhood, and it wasn't just the neighborhood. It was kind of like the whole woods surrounded the neighborhood. The story went, and I have never believed this in my life. But I still don't believe it to this day because it always seemed a little cliche for me. But the story went, there was a headless bride that walked the woods at night. And that was kind of the story that went around. And I never believe it. Still don't believe it, but however, there is definitely something going on in those woods.
So do you think it's real? Obviously there's something where he said there's something going on in those woods. The legend comes about of it being a headless bride that walks the woods at night.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that, you know, originate from? Is there anything to it, or is it just kind of one of those things? Sometimes you think you can have hauntings that that occur just because of a legend that was started.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think there's something that's going on in the woods. Is it a headless bride? Probably not, mm-hmm. honestly. You know, that's probably, you know, turned into local legend over time. But sure. There's probably something that goes on that scares enough people that's where the root of the story comes from.
You think those things are attracted, like ghosts are attracted to the legend type things in certain areas?
I don't know.
Making it a ripe area for a haunting because of the energy and the nervous energy?
Yeah, I mean, that can add to it for sure.
I think that could possibly be it. Be interesting if there was more to that story of, like, I'd love to hear what the full thing of the bride is. I'm sure it's more than just, and there's a bride out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's more like, and then this happened, and that's what I'd love to hear. So if you care to enlighten us on that, please do so. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Extra podcast person, you sign up at ghostpodcast.com to get all of our bonus material, all 147, 48-ish bonus episodes that are up there for you. Exclusive video content and a whole lot more. Ghostpodcast.com. Check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.